Well, that's who I am, and today's the day. So moving right along, I'll let you read this for yourself, and then I'll make a comment about it. This all started about a year and a half ago when I noticed that we had a number of members in our club and people coming to our club that really were at sea when it came to computing. They just really didn't know where to start. I saw the same thing when I went to local training courses at our library on technical subjects. In some cases, these were people who had come to computing late in life, perhaps at the encouragement of family members or friends. In other cases, they had lost the computer expert in their life. Either their spouse had died, their spouse perhaps had been the computer expert in the family, or a child, friend, relative who had moved away and left them with this black box sitting on a desk or a table, something that looked like a television screen, a keyboard, some small black device with a wheel on it that moved back and forth across the desk, and maybe a printer, and they had no idea what to do with it. So we have 12 computer club meetings a year, and 10 of those are devoted to programs. The other two, we have a picnic and we have a holiday party. So we have about 10 sessions of an hour to an hour and a half each to give presentations to our members. There's no way you can help a new person get up to speed on a computer doing it that way. So that prompted me to put together a presentation which I gave to our club last July about how to become your own computer expert. I wrote it originally for the newbie, if you will, somebody new to computing. But I was pleasantly surprised that our club members as a whole, including the more experienced members, seemed interested in it and found things of benefit to them. As I thought about it, it made sense to me because what I would really be describing to you tonight is an approach rather than a bunch of specific how-tos. And the approach should help you gain experience, comfort level, and the ability to know where to go to find the answers you need when you have a problem or when you have a question. And as I note, although I'm going to be talking about computers tonight, the same approach could be used in learning tablets, smartphones, the cloud, your home networks, anything to do with what we consider computing. The structure of the presentation, I have divided it into three sections. The first section is introduction, definition, basic concepts. Second one will describe how I have adapted a business planning process to assist in achieving computing goals. The third piece will be ways you can improve your knowledge and develop a support system. So that will be more of the how-tos, if you will. Your questions, comments, and suggestions are welcome. I will stop. I'll ask you to hold your questions to the end of each of those sections, and I'll pause and give people a chance to ask questions, and then we'll move on. And then we'll have time at the end as well. If you have comments and suggestions, I would welcome them. If you think of something afterwards, tomorrow or the next day, that you'd care to pass along to me, there's my email address, president@lcace. There's one more word in our name. I noticed that it was Lake Area on the announcement. It's actually Lake County Area Computer Enthusiasts. We're located in the northeast corner of Illinois between City of Chicago and the Wisconsin state line. With that, let me move on. There are two kinds of knowledge. We all have personal knowledge of things that we can call on from our brain, if you will, and knowledge about where to go to get an answer, get information about things that you don't know. When we were kids, of course, we would turn to our parents for that. We would turn to our teachers for that, perhaps an older sibling. Yes, we had a base of knowledge, but there was a lot of things we didn't know. Our parents very often would tell us to look it up in the dictionary. If you asked how to spell a word, teacher might tell you to go look it up in the encyclopedia if you asked her or him a question. And even back then, we got into this duality of knowledge, knowing what we know and knowing where to find the answers. There's a lot to do in our lives. We can't become an expert on everything. So typically, most of us learn enough to get by, get our tasks taken care of, and are not going to become a world-class expert unless we're really passionate about something. So to become a computer expert, you don't need to become a world-class expert. I'm using it as a relative term. You only need to know how to accomplish the tasks you want to accomplish. Now, that can be a moving target, and we'll talk about that a little bit later, but that will do the trick. You can become your own computer expert. We go through four levels of competence. You probably run across these somewhere along the line, but we start out in new areas as unconsciously incompetent. We don't know what we don't know. We don't even know enough to ask questions. We don't know what it is we need to learn to master the topic. But if we listen to people, we do some homework, we ask questions, we can gradually begin to move up the learning curve. We become consciously incompetent. The mists begin to dissipate. You begin to get a better idea of what constitutes this particular subject, what we need to learn, what questions you should be asking, so forth. As you do that and keep moving along, you get some help, you do some homework, you become consciously competent, which is the stage at which most of us function every day. And if we do it long enough and frequently enough, we can become unconsciously competent. Case in point, of course, is driving to and from work. If you have the same job at the same place for quite a while, you can drive to work, come home from work without ever really noticing what's going on because you're thinking about dinner, the kids, or something else. So I mention all of these things to set sort of a background as we talk about moving up the learning curve in computing. And there's a red question mark down at the bottom. So does anybody have any questions so far? I'm not hearing anything. Does that mean no?
Yes. That means yes, no.
Yes, that means no. Okay, moving right along. Okay. Well, here's the approach I'm going to take. A business planning process that we can use. And we can use it to learn more about computing, but I think you'll see as we go through it that you can also use it to address a whole bunch of subjects. It doesn't just have to be computing. Okay, the term that we used in the business world was visioning. And originally, it was presented as sort of a clean sheet process where you would not be bound by reality. You would sit back and in a business situation talk about what your vision is for your company. You want to have happy customers, you want to have happy employees, you want to be profitable, and so forth and so on. You would also, once you have documented your vision, you would go back and look at your real world, your reality, and use those two pictures or two snapshots as a way of selecting what goals you're going to pursue that coming year. I like to look at this a little bit differently, and we'll talk about how you can apply this to the computing world. I like to start with reality and say, okay, here's my reality. Where would I like to improve upon it? How would I like to move on from here? Once you have done that, you can then sit down and compare your reality, your vision. How close does reality match your vision? Where do you have gaps? And by the way, it should be obvious, but you really need to do apples to apples. So as you create a vision, you break it into certain sections and segments. When you look at your reality, you break it into the same sections and segments. So you compare apples to apples. You identify gaps between the two. Where is your reality falling short of where you'd like to be? Once you've identified those gaps, you need to prioritize them, because the chances are, if you have a bunch of gaps, you're not going to be able to do them all at one time, solve them all at one time. Select the ones you want to work on in the next 6 months, a year. Establish goals for them that would be measurable either numerically or qualitatively. Set a time frame. So I want to accomplish this by a certain time. Then you need to come up with strategies, plans, game plans, if you will. What are you going to do to close those gaps and move your reality closer to your vision? You measure your progress against your timetable. Intervene when you need to, and keep going. And it maybe annually or whenever, you step back and you look at this whole planning process and say, how is it working? You need to modify it as needed. As I said, this was a business planning process. But how can you apply this to your personal life? Well, the fact is, we do apply it to our personal life. We do this all the time, without perhaps thinking about it in the steps that I've outlined. Let me give you an example. Go to your doctor for an annual physical. At the end of your visit, the doctor sits down with you and says, well, let's look at the result. Your current weight is 185 pounds. For your height, you should weigh no more than 165 pounds, and that's the maximum, so you really ought to be 155. Let's look at your cholesterol. Well, okay, it appears to be within limits. Your triglycerides are a little high. You should probably start cutting back on red meat, fats, and eat more vegetables and whole grains and so on. You are still smoking. You should stop smoking. And I noticed you don't seem all that athletic as trying to get up on my examining table, so you probably should get into a physical fitness program or exercise program or something. Well, what you've just done in that discussion is you created a vision and compared it against your reality in that little small portion of your life. You have identified the gaps, or the doctor has done that for you. So it's now up to you to establish goals, close those gaps, and to develop strategies to make that happen. So how are you going to lose weight, and by when? So I need to lose 30 pounds down a week. That's 30 weeks. Maybe I'll, okay, in the next 9 months, I will plan to lose 30 pounds. That'll be my goal. I will set up an exercise program. I will cessation program and so forth. With those timelines in place, you now develop strategies. I'm going to go to Weight Watchers. I'm going to join a fitness club. I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. And you measure your progress as you go along, remembering that you have to go back and see your doctor at another year. So you certainly want to have as many of these things on track as possible. So that's just a small personal example of how you could put this planning process to work. How do we apply this approach to computing? Well, start by taking stock of where you are now in your personal computing world. What equipment do you have? What do you do? And we'll go into this in more detail. But what's your life like now? What would you like it to be right now? What sort of gaps are there in your personal computing world right now? Take notes as you go along. And when you finish that, you're well on your way to getting started in the process. But I would suggest that you add one more step to it, to step back and say, are there any new additional computer-related topics that are of interest to you, things that you are not currently doing? Some examples. I'll talk about those a little bit, of things like that. So once you identified your vision for today and your reality for today and modified your vision by adding one or two more fields or areas that you'd like to get into, you now have a revised vision, current reality, and some gaps. Okay? Later in the presentation, I'll offer suggestions about how you can get the knowledge you'll need to move up the learning curve, to accomplish your goals, how to enlist the help of others along the way. So, assess where you are today. Let's talk about hardware. What do you know about your hardware and software? What can you do with them? Are you able to accomplish your current computing goals on a regular basis? If you do run into a problem, are you able to solve it on your own? Do you understand current security risks and how to avoid them? Let's look at those in a little bit more detail. Hardware. Here are questions, and understand that some of these questions will sound pretty simplistic to you, but they were originally designed for people who are very new to computing. So they were served two purposes. Number one, to give them things to look into, and secondly, to help move them from this unconsciously incompetent stage to a consciously competent stage, where now they at least know the kinds of things that they should know the answers to. And if they don't, well, okay, that's one more thing for them to pursue or work on. And you can read through those on your own. But these are just thought starters as you examine your current situation. How about software? Yep. Okay, screens and sounds. Okay. Okay, some more questions here. Software. What do you do to keep your software up to date? Do you need to know, add new software, extensions for your browsers, what's installed, and so on and so forth? So these are all thought starters as you work on your current vision and your current reality. Is your software up to date for security purposes? Do you have a process to back up your files separate from your computer? I think you probably all know why. I'm sorry? Okay. Okay, we've gone through the software. Security, we started on security. Is there a process in place to back up your files separate from your computer? And you probably all know why I'm asking that question, because with ransomware, they can lock up your attached external hard drive that you're using to back up your files if it's connected to your computer. Okay. Why? Okay. Do you have robust security software installed on your computer? Are you up to date on safe computing practices? Do you know what you should be doing? Are you doing them? Do you have a browser extension or security software that screens websites and search results? I don't know if everybody knows what I mean by that, but if this works properly, I'll show you a quick example. I plugged in a search for best antivirus software. I used DuckDuckGo as my search engine, and I plugged in a search for best antivirus software. And as you can see, there's green circles, check marks, red circles, so forth, so on. The small circle is a Web of Trust extension on my browser. I'm using Chrome as my browser. The check marks are from a Avast online security extension on my browser. It tells me the site is safe. And so beauty of this is, of course, you would probably not want to go to this particular website because Web of Trust would tell you it's not safe. Let's suppose I did try. If you have other protective software like Malwarebytes, it blocks the website due to fraud, and I get a pop-up here telling me it sent an invalid response. So if you're not already doing something like this with your web searches, I encourage you to do so. That's what I'm talking about here. Have you created a standard account that you use when web surfing in addition to your administrator account? And do not use your administrator account for web surfing. So those are some questions on security. They should help you get a good feel for your current reality in computing and give you something to build upon to create your vision of where you'd like to go with this. And then here are some thoughts about additional things you might want to do that you haven't tried. Social media, genealogy, photo editing, gaming, video calling, and so on. Any of those, something you want to do, add it to your vision. Now you can compare that to your current reality, go through gaps, make sure they're clear and specific. How important are they to you? Develop your prioritized approach to learning and action, a game plan. So this is a planning process you can apply in computing. You can apply it in any part of your life. And once you've gone through the process, set up an action plan, you're off and running. One thing to remember with computers is that you'll be shooting at a moving target. As you well know, things are changing at a rapid pace in the computing world. Not only is new software coming along, updated operating systems, new hardware, we've gone from 2G to 3G, 4G to 5G cellular connections, we've gone to much faster internet, and we've gotten much, much more deeply into security issues. Lots of bad guys out there trying to take advantage of it and getting smarter all the time. So you will be shooting at a moving target for as long as you're dealing with computers. Just keep that in mind. Okay, this is the second part, and now the third part, I'll start talking about resources we can use to help us move down the field. Any questions here? Okay. All right. The journey begins. You're going to need to increase your computing knowledge. Here again, just a reminder that internal knowledge, external knowledge. As you get older, your recall gets a little more difficult, so you're probably going to want to shift some of that knowledge to a file folder on your computer or in your file cabinet that you can refer to when you need it, rather than trust your ability to retrieve it from your memory. Each person's going to have to find his or her own balance, how much you're going to try and learn and memorize, and how much you're going to have available to you when you need it. A reminder again, you have to keep double-checking your personal knowledge and materials to turn to for currency, for accuracy. Okay, what resources can you draw upon? Well, how about computer reference books? Those have been around ever since there were computers. For my talk to new computer users, I recommend three that I ran across. One by Abby Stokes, Is This Thing On? Another one, Computer Basics for Absolute Beginners, and Computers for Seniors by Dummies, all well-rated. Chances are they're available in your local library. If not, you can get them through Amazon if you care to. And they're good general background references that cover a whole range of subjects. Obviously, there are a lot more specific books about computing, operating systems, application software, and so forth. If your library is like mine, you will have a technology section there. If you want to go browse through it, you're going to find all sorts of titles on how to program, how to do this, how to do that, how to use stuff you've never heard of. That's okay, but you'll find some books that look like they may be of interest. I encourage you to look at online book reviews to help you choose between them. Also, obviously, if you're thinking you're buying a book, Amazon has almost every book in the world on their website, and you can go to it and read their book reviews, their user reviews, and see which of the various books about Windows 10 or Microsoft Office 365 you want to use. Okay. You guys went silent for a minute, so can you hear me okay? Okay, I'll keep moving along. Remember that when you're dealing with a book, things may have changed since publication. Even when the book's first published, there are probably a few things that are wrong because things change so fast in the tech world. However, notice that some of these books may offer online updates or cheat sheets. Books for dummies typically offer cheat sheets or upline access for any updates. You can also look up ebooks. This was recommended to me after one of my presentations. Take Control Books is a series of ebooks, a website that sells their own ebooks. Well, that's not exciting. Why are they blocking my website? It's not fraudulent. Go away. All right. Here is Take Control Books. This was originally set up as a resource for Apple computers, so you'll see a lot of Apple titles on here. But they also have general ones like Wi-Fi networking and security. What else on here? Scrivener, for example, the cloud, your online privacy. And they're $10, $15, etc. You get them online as an online book. So Take Control Books is an option as well on top of the other ones. Okay. Computer websites, newsletters, and magazines. Kim Komando has a website. Let me just take you to hers. She is a Swiss Army knife person for computer information because she not only has a website, she has a podcast. She does a show. You can listen to her. She broadcasts. You can find the station she's broadcasting on. She does a newsletter. You can go up here to get Kim's free newsletter. I should warn you, if you sign up for this, you will you'll get a lot of mail because you will get 1 to 2 newsletters a day from there typically. But what they will typically have is warnings about malware hitting some of Amazon's best products. Here, customized swipes in Gmail. So it's how to do things. It's warnings about malware. It's practical kinds of things that you can use. Excuse me. Let me close this and go back. And How to Eat is another similar website, which I particularly like. This is a favorite of mine. Here's How to Geek. They also have a newsletter. It can be about 100,000 other subscribers. It's absolutely free. Lots of current information. Here are some of the best of their articles that have been in recent newsletters. What's the best antivirus for Windows 10? How to free up disk space on Mac OS X? What's the best way to back up my computer? How to stop autoplaying HTML5 videos in your web browser? A lot of practical, useful information. Easy to read. You probably get 4 of those a week and read the articles that interest you and ignore the rest of them. ZDNet is a little higher level. It caters to more the computer professional, IT professional, but there are articles on there about threats, security. You may want to check that out on your own. There are also e-magazines. You may remember PC World and PC Magazine when they were print magazines. They're no longer print magazines, now they're e-magazines. If your library is like mine, they offer a number of e-magazines through an RB Digital application app that you can read for free, a library patron. But you can also subscribe to them, and they will be distributed through Zinio. Just to give you a quick look at what they look like, here's my Zinio account using LastPass as my password manager. Here we are. So, PC World, PC Magazine, and as you can see, they have a regular, it's a regular magazine format, complete with ads, just like magazine. Here are some of the stories in this particular issue. They have reviews and ratings. They have, here's how, what to do after data breach, Windows 10 update, best in future. So a lot of useful information. And PC Magazine is more of the same. So, well worth checking out if your library offers them for free. If not, you may consider buying a subscription to one or the other of them. Good sources for general knowledge and specific topics. Okay, participate in online training and local programs. Manufacturers, many manufacturers of hardware or software offer online tutorials. This one happens to be Office, and I'll just give you an example of this. Okay, this is www.office.com. Microsoft has set up a separate website just for Office. Welcome to Office. Here's support. You go to support. You see all sorts of support items, but we want training. So go up here to training. And here you have some general on collaboration, save time with tips, try it with templates, learn basics. But let's say we want to learn something about PowerPoint. Just click on PowerPoint. And here is PowerPoint video training. Quick start, introduction to PowerPoint, how to format text. Microsoft bought LinkedIn a while ago, so they're offering LinkedIn learning courses as well, animation there, additional help, so forth, so on. So that's an example of a manufacturer's online tutorials. But there are also a number of websites that specialize in training programs. You may have heard of lynda.com. That's one of the more better known ones. Here again, my library offers this free to its subscribers. So I can access lynda.com through my library website for free. Lynda.com is a subscription service. It's got thousands of courses it offers, a wide range of subjects, including computing subjects. Udemy, I'm not going to go through all these websites, but Udemy is another website like Lynda.com, which offers individual courses. Once again, thousands of courses, a variety of subjects, where you pay by the course, $9.99 a course, $14.99 a course, or whatever. So let's just take a quick look at what they have to offer. And here you go. And you can go to IT and software, health and fitness, productivity, business development. Let's try IT and software. They've got Linux. Here again, it can be somewhat more advanced than you might need or want. Network programming, cyber security course, etc. You would have to pick and choose to find one you would like, but that's the source. Now there are two free websites that I recommend. The first one is GCF Learn Free, absolutely free. And here you see, once again, they have technology, reading, math, grammar lessons, typing tutorials. Let's just go to technology. And here we go. Computers, email, internet, Linux, Mac OS, online safety, Windows. Well, online safety looks like a good one. So let's try that. Well, internet safety for kids. Let's try internet safety. And here you go, creating strong passwords, browser security features, how to avoid malware, safe online shopping, all sorts of good stuff. Extras, browser plugins, Wi-Fi security, what to do if your computer gets a virus, and so on. All free. So help yourself. And Tech Boomers is another website that was started by a Canadian a number of years ago. His mother was asking him to explain computers to her, and he did that for a while, and he got the idea of starting to post online training on a course for on the web for free, and he's expanded it now to cover a number of subjects, some broader than just, here you go. We've got technology basics, useful websites, social websites, online entertainment, shopping, 100 free courses. Once again, browse through it, see what you can find that would help you understand this world of computing and protect yourself. And, of course, we have local tech presentation, perhaps at your library, adult education, computer clubs, senior centers, wherever. YouTube. I read some statistic about the number of new videos that are added to YouTube every day, but it was staggering. But as you know, you can find all kinds of information there. Your club, I believe, like mine, belongs to APCUG, a National Organization of Computer User Groups. They do a technology conference, virtual technology conference, four times a year. With six presentations in total, and I noticed that you've got Phil Sorrentino doing one, I think, on one of your coming meetings. He's a presenter in APCUG, and I think that's probably how you found me, because I did one in February. But they post all of these videos to YouTube. So while your club may show one or more of these as a presentation from time to time, you can just go there and go through all of these sessions. Most of them are 40 minutes to 50 minutes long. You've got two-factor authentication, social networking, Google Photos, LibreOffice as a replacement for Microsoft Office 365, staying safe online, all sorts of good stuff. So you can view them all for free. You don't need to be a member. Just take your pick. And, of course, YouTube in general, you can look for product videos, new products. You can ask, use search queries on there for product reviews, for new smartphones that have come out, new hardware that's come out, new software, how to. You can post a question. My daughter had read the warning from various websites and news media about a VPN filter cyber attack that is currently making the rounds, and there were several recommendations to reboot your router, reset your router password, and she and my son-in-law have an Apple Airport Express as their router, which I know nothing about since I am Mac, I'm a Windows guy. And so I said, well, let me just check on their website. And I went to Apple, and I got some written instructions on how to do that. But just on a hunch, I went to YouTube and asked, how do you reset an Airport Express? And there, I think, were four or five videos taking you step-by-step through the process. So I referred them to her, and I've not heard back. So if you have a problem or question, post your question to YouTube, and chances are you'll find a video showing you what to do. Use the help functions built into your software. virtually all your software, your web browsers, everybody has a help button somewhere, what have you. Just to show you that, let me close this for a second. And, well, no, I won't, because I don't want to risk getting back on again. Yes, use the help function to finish software or post questions on online community forums. Many manufacturers, many software producers have online community forums where users can post questions and solutions. It's well worth it. As a matter of fact, some companies do not even offer a customer service function. They say, if you have a question, go to our community forum and look for the answer there. We have our engineers monitoring that and so forth. But this is just one example. If you have not, or if you're not familiar with community forums, this happens to be a Microsoft community forum. This particular thread has to do with small netbook computers that came out when Chromebooks were starting to eat into Microsoft's Windows base. And they came out with a product called the HP Stream, which was a little small netbook, 11.6-inch screen with 32 gigabytes of solid-state storage. That was it. No hard drive in it at all, and that was only 32 gigabyte storage. Now, you could put in a SD card, but you couldn't put applications on your SD card. Problem surfaced with Microsoft Windows updates. These big updates are coming out with every six months, require 8 to 10 gigabytes of free storage to load them and install them on your computer. Folks using these computers did not have 8 or 10 gigabytes of free storage, so this became a problem, and people posted it on a website, on the community forum, various answers have been suggested, and so forth, so on. So this is just one example of community forum, but try community forums. I think you'll find them helpful. You may have to sift through the answers and maybe check a couple of other places, but it'll give you some place to start. Okay, you can post search queries online. Why is this happening? Why isn't this happening? How do I? What does this message mean? So forth, so on. If you get the answer you're looking for, modify your search query and try it again. You may need to be more specific. You may need to change the order of your words. You may need to refer to any talks you've had, articles you've read about how to search Google, how to phrase search queries. But chances are you'll come up with a whole pages of answers to your query. As I said, it would be helpful to have an extension on your browser, as I showed you before, that would help you avoid potential dangerous websites as you go through this. But one other tip I would make about this is that you need to look at the dates on each entry that comes up. Because if you're not careful, you'll say, Doug, this looks like just what I'm looking for. And you load it and realize it was written 10 years ago for Windows XP or Windows 7. And it really does apply to your situation. So, and even if it does apply to, let's say, Windows 8 or Windows 10 or whatever operating system you're running, it still could be superseded. So be careful when you look at the dates. And don't assume that every answer you get will be correct in today's world. Ask questions of knowledgeable friends, family, and coworkers, computer club members, training programs, volunteers, of total strangers. If you find yourself in an airport or on an airplane or and you notice somebody filling in.
Somebody has a question.
Oh, okay.
Are you ready for a question?
I'm sorry, I didn't hear that.
I have a question for you.
Jim, Hi. Could you repeat that, please?
Hi, I was wondering, would you know where to look to how to recover the browsing data when the PC started in recovery mode? Because I tried to search for that and I couldn't find it. Would you know?
No, I'm sorry. There's an echo in the room. Yeah.
Okay. The
Jim,
question is,
you would repeat the questions for me.
How to recover the browsing data when the browsing websites when the computer, the PC, started in recovery mode in Google Chrome. When you search in Google Chrome, when you are in Google Chrome and you have open many websites, so usually you can recover the history. But in this case, the computer didn't start right, and it started, and there was no history. The history disappeared.
Jim?
Let's skip it because it's not part of this, and we'll talk with her later and try to help her.
Okay, but Jim, if anybody else has a question, it would help me if you would repeat the question to me because I can't hear. Yeah, okay. Well, no, okay, that's fine. So ask questions of anybody and everybody, manufacturers, customer service. But here again, don't assume every answer will be correct because somebody could be well-meaning and not understand your question correctly or understand your question correctly but be misinformed himself or herself. So take the answer, say thanks, and make a note to verify it through some other source. Security deserves a presentation of its own. I can't do justice to everything in security these days. It's an ever-moving target, but it's a major issue. Many of the sources that I've listed so far have lessons or segments or sections that websites that that offer thoughts about security or privacy. So I encourage you, as you're visiting those various websites, to check out their security sections as well. And search the internet for security-related websites and advice. Here's one that I do recommend. This is a Federal Trade Commission consumer website. Let me take you to this. They have a number of things about security and privacy, but this is one I want to particularly call to your attention. Federal Trade Commission, Privacy, Identity, and Online Security, and in particular, identity theft down here. Identity theft, a whole bunch of theories or identity theft specific issues, so forth and so on, and that how to protect your identity. But included as part of this is, let's see here, how to keep identity theft, discovering identity theft over what to do, fraud alert, warning signs, specific issues, extended, well, son of a gun. I'm having trouble finding the particular section that I wanted because, let's see, identity theft. Oh, here we go. Visit identitytheft.gov to report and recover from identity theft. That's what I was looking for. And when you do that, what you get is a complete how to do it section on how to recover from identity theft. They've got recovery plans, how to put your plan in action. It tells you step by step going through it. Fortunately, I've not had to use this, but if you or someone you care about runs into some identity theft issues, I encourage you to go to the Federal Trade Commission, identitytheft.gov. and look at that for help. So that's an example of what's out there. Or you can post search inquiries, as we said, and so forth and so on. Keeping safe involves a combination of hardware, security settings, software, and behavior, yours. So you need to take advantage of Kim Komando newsletter, the How to Geek newsletter, give recommendations of how to protect yourself about the latest and greatest malware and cyber attacks and so on, and they'll give you step by step, do this, do that, so on. And of course, you can find books, magazine articles, whatever, about what you should do or should not do to protect yourself against the various scams that are out there. Okay. This covers the section that in which I was going to cover, resources and where you could turn to help you work your plan. Any questions? Yes, sir. Well, how about if I just send her my presentation? Sure, sure. I'll send her the whole thing and the link should come through with it. Yeah, okay. Would that work? Okay, good. Okay. Okay. Well, then let me move on to the concluding section. Problems. What do you do if you run into a problem? Well, you're too late. You should have started sooner. Plan in advance. What will you do when? And you notice I didn't say if, I said when. Okay? All this information you've been gathering, all the sources you've been developing, put them in a form that you can easily access. When I was putting this talk together, I remembered the Rolodexes. I don't know how many of you remember Rolodexes from way back in the 70s and 80s, but they were a handy way to store all sorts of information alphabetically for easy retrieval. Well, you can create your own Rolodex, if you will, with an Excel spreadsheet or an Access database or 3x5 file cards in a box, whatever works for you. But where would you turn if you have a problem? If this, then that. And what you need to figure out, the then that. Who would you call? What would you, how would you approach getting the information you need? So if you plan ahead, it will make life a lot simpler if something goes wrong. Trusted list of trusted human helpers. Set up a group email. Our club, long before I joined it, set up a Google Groups email that club officers can communicate to all members with. But the members can also communicate with everybody else. So anybody in the club can post a message to our Google group email. And members have used that in the past when they've run into a problem. They've said, hey, I've got this antiquated piece of equipment, don't know how it works, can anybody help me? And sure enough, somebody else would raise their hand and say, yeah, I'll give you a call and get together. So if your club has something like that, that would be great. If it doesn't, it might be helpful. But you personally can set up your own email with your friends or family members or people that you figure you can count on just by in Yahoo Mail or whatever mail system you're using. Set up a group, a list, if you will, and you can post a question to your buddies saying, hey, here's my problem. Help me out. A member in our club uses Facebook for this purpose. She has a number of friends who live in the area, and she's set up a little group, I guess, within Facebook. And she's posted some computer questions to them. Hardware, I have a hardware problem, because does somebody have an old monitor they could spare, and things like that. And she got good success with that. Use your search engine, as we talked about, not only for as a primary source of information, but as a means of validating information you've gotten from other sources, whether it's books, magazines, from people, from searches that you've done yourself. It's a way to confirm take advantage of help desk. Your computer club has a help desk during or after or before meetings. If you're, we have at our library, we have a program on weekends, Saturday afternoons, where teen volunteers from high school come by and help newbies with their computing problems. So it helps everybody involved. They learn helping techniques, and newbies benefit from consulting them. Stores may have classes. Office Max, Office Depot, Staples may check your computer free for viruses and anything else that may be going wrong. So look around and see what you can take advantage of in that regard. As I mentioned before, and I'll say it again, be sensitive to dates. Information may be obsolete. Here's a phrase. I have a friend who's a carpenter. If any of you know carpenters, you probably heard this phrase, measure twice, cut once. Same thing here. If you're trying to solve a problem, something, you're a little unsure about what you're doing, you've gotten one answer, check around, see if you can get a second answer that says the same thing. It give you peace of mind that that what you're about to do is probably a good thing. And if the first effort fails, don't give up. Say, well, maybe I identified the problem correctly, maybe I misread the solution, let me try this again. Repeat the process. So, in summary, create your vision, document your reality, identify key gaps, develop a plan to close those gaps, identify the resources you need, work your plan, evaluate, update if necessary, understand that we're in a fast-moving world of technology, so we'll recognize the changing circumstances, adjust your plan as needed, and you have become your computer expert. Keep pulling on the string. There you go. So, any last-minute questions? Oh, thank you.